Welcome. Thank you all for coming. Appreciate you being here today and thank God for your work and your service. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great salvation, first of all, that we know we're saved. And thank you for the opportunity we have to communicate and, Lord, the plan that you put forth. I pray now that you'd help me. Lord, though everybody's here, we need your presence. We need your help. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help me as I teach and preach. I pray that you would bless and enlighten us and open our eyes, put ears of faith on our hearts that we might listen. Father, we'll thank you for it. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 3, I'm going to get right into it. The title of this session is called The Duty of Communication. This outline is not originally, it is not original with me. I received this years ago from another man who's now in heaven. His name is Dr. Jim Vineyard. Brother Vineyard was a great communicator. But he had great lessons on the home, and this is one of them. And it's, if I ever have one lesson to teach on the home, this is it. You say, well, this is not a home class, it's for all the servants of God. Communication is the key to any relationship. Amen. Any relationship. Amen. In fact, in my opinion, it wasn't a sin, but the mistake that Adam and Eve made was communicating with Satan. That was the start. Look at what it says in Genesis chapter 3. It's on your paper. Chapter 3, in verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of every tree in the garden. Satan is a master at deception, and he uses dialogue. Do you ever wonder why you see on Facebook the word follow? Because he wants you to follow him. It's interesting, the same word is used in Hebrews chapter 13 when it says about your pastor, whose faith follow. I'm just going to say something at the beginning. If I happen to say something that disagrees with your pastor, he's right and I'm wrong. Because he's God's man for you to communicate to you God's word for you. So follow him in his faith. Amen. That's not in the notes. I just thought I'd throw it in. Satan is a master at deception. He's a master at dialogue. He's a master at doubt. Yea, hath God said? He's a master at distortion. He's a master at denial. He's a master at defeat. He's a master at division. And so we need to learn to communicate. And there are four duties of communication that I'll give you this morning. And I think we'll get through all of it. But if I start down rabbit trails, it's always dangerous. But the first one is this. It's the duty to listen. Listen. We do not listen well. We do not listen well. I work a secular job Monday to Friday, okay? And I have bosses, multiple. And no offense, ladies, but they're women. And sometimes, men and women, all right, let me clarify that, we only listen to the first part. Yesterday, I was talking to my boss, and I said, we're out of one product. And she said, well, the bag says 5,000 in it. The bag was empty. I thought, she didn't hear me. And she was busy and didn't want to listen. So I walked away. If she's not going to listen, I can't help her. Listen, look at what Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterwards. Even when you're quiet, people think you might be wise. And by the way, if you don't get anything out of this half hour or 45 minutes, whatever, don't say too much. I was talking to a preacher the other day, and he made this statement. He said, I find that if I keep talking, I get myself in trouble. Don't say too much. Bible says in the book of James, James chapter 1, verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Wait a minute. Swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Many problems occur because we don't listen to the problem. eye-to-eye contact when you're talking with someone. We taught our children and our grandchildren were at our house last night. And my daughter said to her little four-year-old, tell Grammy you love her and goodbye. And he says, yeah, I love you, goodbye. And she said, no, look her in the eye. Look people in the eye when you talk to them. That's the best way. One person must talk all their side out while the other person listens. Whether you're a boss or you're a mom or you're a dad or you're a husband or a wife or you're a Sunday school teacher, listen to them. By the way, that child in your Sunday school class that is disturbing everything, he probably just needs somebody to listen to him to find out what his problem is. We had Vacation Bible School and they asked me to preach 4th, 5th, and 6th grade, all right? And I love it. I really do. I work harder at that age than any other age because you really have to work to keep their attention. And one little boy, the next night I wasn't preaching. Another fellow was preaching. A little boy in front of me, his name was Angel, and he was just acting up. I mean, he was just... So I was trying to sit on him like, you know, junior church workers do, and talking to him a little bit. When it came time for invitation, I said, Angel, would you like to know about salvation? And he looked at me and he said, I would. I was shocked. We went to the next room. We started talking. I said, Angel, would you? And I went through the salvation plan with him. And it didn't seem like he was interested. But the director of that group sent a 14-year-old boy, a teenager, in there with me to be with him. So there's two workers there. And I was talking to him. I said, well, look, if you don't want to get saved, then that's okay. We'll just go back. And I looked at the 14-year-old boy, and for whatever reason, I said, do you have anything to say? And at first he said, no, Brother Bragg. And then he goes, yes, I do. And a 14-year-old boy looked at that 11-year-old boy in the eye and said, when I got saved, it's the best thing that ever happened in my life. And in that sentence, he made a difference. He was listening. He was listening. And he told him, and so one person must talk their whole side out and listen. The other person can reply, but peaceably. We had a man in our church. He was the vice president of Moog Automotive Wagner Brake Company years ago before they sold out to the Chinese. And he would go around. He became the vice president of operations because he would go around in the factory and he would ask the workers, what do you think would make this better? And he would listen to them. One of the complaints that we have at work is nobody will listen to us. Hello? Let's not make the same mistake. Let's be good listeners. My wife, and I'll say this, she was an only child. I grew up in a family of seven. We had a communication problem when we first got married. She could not understand. In my family, if we weren't yelling at each other, we weren't communicating. In her family, she was sent to her room when her mom and dad wanted to argue. She had never heard an argument. She thought she was in trouble. So I had to teach her to argue. She does a pretty good job now. My wife is a good friend to many ladies, and this is why. Because she listens. She listens to them. Be a good listener. You can't communicate if you're not going to listen. Sorry. Keep your ears open and your mouth shut. Proverbs 18:13. He that answereth a matter, a preacher just mentioned this. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Give the other person your undivided attention. Don't be thinking about how or what you will say as a comeback. They say something, well, all right, I just can't wait till they stop. No, listen the whole thing out. We have three children. They all communicate differently. I got a son that he's just out there. Whatever is in his mind, he's going to come out of his mouth. I'm telling you, you don't have to. It's not tough to talk to him. My daughter, on the other hand, takes a while. Got to listen to her. And finally, I'll say, okay, well, what's the problem? What do you want? What do you need? What's the issue? Listen. Concentrate on what the other person is saying. Proverbs 20, verse 5, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, But a man of understanding will draw it out. That's a great verse. Amen. Listen. 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 I think there's so many stories when my oldest son was a junior. Oh, he's primary. He and a teenage boy, they didn't get in trouble, but there were some things they did they shouldn't have done. And the teenage boy had led my son that direction, so he was confessing to me. And boy, I wanted to just hit the roof. But by God's grace, I just listened and worked through it and went to the Bible. But I had to listen first. Listen. Keep your heart open. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Swift to hear. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath. Listen to their objections, complaints, and criticisms. Listen to them. Number two, a duty to talk. A duty to talk. Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silent, but a time to speak. There is a time to speak up and say something. Years ago, there was a fellow pastor about 25 miles from where we were. I pastored in St. Louis for 33 years, and another pastor about 25 miles south of us, he called me and he said, Eddie, he said, I can't deal with this couple. He said, I went to high school with the wife, and we were friends, and the husband, I don't know him as well, but he said, I just can't, for some reason, I'm not communicating. And I think he used wisdom, and he said, would you talk to them? Would you counsel them? I said, I'll try. And so when they came to my office, I could tell right away, she was the talker. She was the one that wanted to talk. Ladies, no offense, sometimes ladies tend to talk more than men because they feel like they have to talk it out. At some point, you do need to talk, and you do need to communicate, and we as men, we don't need to seem like, we don't think we do anyway, but we do need to speak. Amen. And we have a tendency to not to speak. And this fella could not talk. He stuttered. And I'd look at him and I'd ask him a question. And she would answer. And that was frustrating to me because I wasn't talking to her, I was talking to him. Well, he couldn't. He was stuttering. I didn't know what to do. I wanted to say, well, y'all know what I wanted to say. Shut up, lady. I want to talk to him. I didn't say that. That wouldn't have been Christ-like. I wanted to be in the flesh, but I couldn't do that. By the way, this is a side issue, a story within a story. When I would go out to eat with missionaries that we were considering to take on for support, I would often look at the man and talk to him. If the woman responded before the man did, that was a red flag to me. It just was. Fellas, speak up. Speak up. Say something. He couldn't speak. I was frustrating. So I said to her, I'm not real bright, but I do ask God for wisdom. And he'll give it to anybody. If he'll give it to me, he'll give it to you. I promise you. And I said, Lord, help me with it. I just under my breath, Lord, what do I do? And the Lord seemed to say, speak for him. So I said to her, I think what your husband is trying to say is, and then I answered for him. And he went, and I said, I think he wants to say, and he just started bawling, started crying. And he started shaking his head. She said, I had no idea. And for about 5 minutes, I just talked for the guy. And I tried to put myself in his place. And 5-10 minutes, had prayer, gave him Bible verses, and happily married. I just spoke. Just speak. There's a time to speak. Choose the right time to talk, by the way. Immediately when the day starts is not always a good time. I've learned this about my boss. She does not want to hear any problems first thing in the morning. And that was the problem when I brought that 5,000 piece that we were out of, I said, oh, we'll talk about that later. And sometimes, you know, there's time to talk and time. When we, children, when you're dealing with children, there's a time to talk to them, and there's a time not just to be quiet. Like, for instance, in junior church, when the preacher's preaching, that's not the time to give them a lecture. It's time to tell them to sit up straight, put your hands in your lap, and watch the preacher. And just keep saying that. But when the day starts, maybe it's not a good time. Just, you know, when you're tired or feeling sick, that's not a good time to talk. Make an appointment with people. Hey, I need to, our children, what I tried to teach our children to communicate with each other and with us. And I would say to them, I'm going to talk to you when we get home. Now, from the time that I said that till the time I actually talked to them, my daughter said that was the worst time in her life because she knew the talk was coming. Communication. Great example that Pastor Wilkerson gave of his dad getting saved. That Sunday school teacher, I need to talk to you over here. And then his brother the next week. What an amazing way to communicate. Talking to them. Think about, now's not the time. You want to, but choose your time and evaluate, as the preacher said. Hindrances to talking. I'll get it out here. Hindrances to talking. Blow up. You have to just kind of sit on your emotions sometimes and talk peaceably. It's kind of tough sometimes. You want to blow up, but you can't. I gave the illustration. I grew up in a family of seven, my mom and dad, there was nine of us. Mealtime was just an event. It really was. We lived on a farm, had great food, and it was just an event. But we could be arguing, nose to nose, almost fisticuff, and then say to each other, okay, let's go have lunch. My wife couldn't understand that. She couldn't understand how you could be so emotionally involved and then just, well, that was the way we brought. And by the way, you learn to communicate often by the way you were raised. My wife and I learned this. We weren't raised properly. So we had to learn to listen and to speak. I wanted to get mad and leave. And my wife said, please stay and talk to me. Boy, what a great lesson for me. And I did, and I'm thankful I did. We've been married 48 years. Blow up. Look at what it says in Proverbs 22:24. Make no friendship with an angry man. With a furious man thou shalt not go. Proverbs 21:19, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. When we would get so aggravated at each other and I'd want to leave, I would say, now be careful, because I don't want to listen to a nagging woman. And I taught my wife that men, and especially boys, they don't want to be nagged. I'm telling you, ladies, if you're teaching Sunday school, be careful about nagging these boys. They do not want to. You'll train them to not listen to women. Speak to them. I hope I'm okay here. Everybody's getting real quiet. It's like the air's getting. There's more ladies in here than men, but I'm just saying, be careful. Blow up and lose your temper and so forth. You got to be careful. Number two, clam up. Most workers will not talk to the boss, but will complain to everybody else. They clam up. Open communication is good. There's nothing wrong with that. At our work, we have what's called a rah-rah, sis-boom-bah cheerleading time, where every month we have a meeting with the big boss, the president of the company, and they want to encourage us, but they don't want to hear any complaints. Everything's got to be positive. Well, can I tell you, for a battery to work, there's got to be a negative and a positive. Sometimes you have to speak up. And you can do that in different ways. I work for a company that works with disabled adults. We employ about 400 disabled adults. It's Kankakee County Training Center for Disabled. And I am a bus driver, and I drive a truck and some other things. And if I'm not doing that, I'm on the production floor. And they had some buses that needed to be fixed badly. I mean, I had a choice one day of taking a bus. It was 97 degrees outside, 107 heat index, and I had a choice of taking a bus that was air-conditioned, a little small, short bus, okay, or taking a bus that was air-conditioned that had not been inspected, which is illegal, or driving a bus that was inspected but was no air conditioning, and the windows wouldn't roll down. And I'd already driven that the day before, and these people were about ready to pass out. I'm thinking, wait a minute, this... And I hadn't been working there very long, and I thought, how can I communicate this to the boss? So I sat down that night, and I typed out a letter to whom it may concern. And I listed every problem that I knew with every bus that we had. And then I, on the very last paragraph, you would think that a company that is concerned about disabled adults would be concerned about their transportation, and signed it. And I slid it under the vice president's door. I was going to go to the president, but I thought, no, the vice president's the one I need to talk to. Slid it under the door. There's many ways of communicating, many ways. But this was written, I spoke up. Well, that got some people excited. Because there is a hotline number that I could call and call the state and tell the state, this company's not doing what they're supposed to do. I can't say that word. Thank you. Thank you for speaking up. Anonymously. And I could stay in the background. But I thought that's not the way to do it. So I wrote the letter. I thought, let's see what happens. So I got a call from her. And my boss got a call from her. Said, we want to see you both in my office. So we go to the office, and she's got the letter in hand, and she's taking the letter like this, and she says, Ed, I got your letter. And she just tapped it for a minute. I was going to let her tap it for 5-10 minutes, but she just kept tapping it for a little bit. And I said, you're the only one that saw that letter. And she goes, oh, okay. And my boss said, what letter? And I communicated to whom I needed to communicate to, without blowing up, without clamming up, and we got some things done. They've bought new buses now. They've upgraded. Hey, you can communicate. Speak up. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Clam up. I tell you the story about my wife. They sent her to the room, and she thought she was in trouble. She thought she's in trouble all the time. She would read a book. And to this day, my wife can be in a crowd, a huge crowd, and have a book and be by herself. That's just her. So we've had to learn to communicate. Clam up. You can't do that. You have to speak up at times. You have to speak up. Cut up. Proverbs 13:16. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge. Hey, read the room. Know what's happening. Think about it. So you have to speak up at the right time, and these are hindrances. You blow up, you cut up, you clam up, you cut up. I was dealing with a couple one time, and everything I would say, he'd make a joke about it. Everything I'd say, he'd make a joke about it. I could see his wife's face. She was aghast. She just went, what am I going to do? And I looked at him finally. I looked at him, and I said, sir, if you don't take this seriously, you're going to end up in divorce. Can I tell you, as workers, Christian workers, whoever you're dealing with, communication is a key. And you could just say one word, and it could change the whole situation. Be careful. Just be careful. Cutting up. I have a tendency to be a smart aleck. Again, sarcasm was what we lived with at our house. And you have to be careful because some people They don't take sarcasm well. And they don't take cutting up. A lady I was working with, somebody grabbed her water bottle like this and handed it to her. What are you doing? She hit the roof. And she says, she has some kind of disease that she can pick up germs just. She said, when I opened this bottle, your hand was there and whatever you touched and so forth. And I said, I made a joke. And she looked at me and she said, do you care if I die? Well, I do. And I said, lady, I'm sorry. I apologize. And she, in the next 5 minutes, she explained to me what that disease was and how it affects her and so forth and so on. Cutting up, you have to be careful. Some people can handle it, some people can't. Amen? Brother Vinny used to say this, you should be able to laugh at yourself before you laugh at anyone else. And you don't laugh at disabled people, older people, you just don't. And so I apologize to her. I want to try to win her to Christ. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. Proverbs 14:8, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his ways, but the folly of fools is deceit. Read the room. Understand. Look, at some point you learn, don't say that. Just don't say that. I'm not going to get on politics. I'll just leave this. Let's go to number 3, the duty to understand and acquire knowledge. 1 Peter 3:7. We're heading this way when I was talking about prudent man deal with knowledge. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. It doesn't say understanding, because we can't understand each other completely. Women cannot understand men completely because they're not men. And by the way, fellas, we can't understand women completely because we're not women. And so learn knowledge. This is what a woman will do. This is what happens. Okay? And just be aware of it. Just understand it. Knowledge. Dwell with him according to giving honor to the wife as a weaker vessel, as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. The greatest drawback, and I have in your notes it says marriage, but I'll say in relationships. The greatest drawback in relationships is the inability to understand each other. Sometimes we shouldn't try to understand, just accept the knowledge we gain about each other. The boss that I work for is an ordained minister. She got her ordination papers through the internet so she could marry her lesbian friends. Now, can I tell you, I'm totally against all that. Though I haven't said that to her, she knows it. I've tried to show her kindness, try to communicate with her, try to know when it's time to talk to her and when it's time to back off. She's my boss. I'm not compromising. I'm using discernment. Using discernment. Relationships. Sometimes we shouldn't try to understand, just accept knowledge we gain from each other. I was listening to Bill Walton speak about a great communicator named John Wooden. Anybody remember John Wooden? John Wooden was the Wizard of Westwood. He was an NCAA basketball coach for UCLA. He won 10 championships, 7 in a row, never done before and never done since. But John Wooden was a great communicator. Bill Walton was speaking about John Wooden, and he said this about John Wooden: his real love was not basketball, his real love was communication. I thought that was so interesting. And Bill Walton said that John Wooden had 2 sets of 3s. Don't lie, don't steal, and don't cheat. Don't complain, don't criticize, and don't make excuses. He said he drilled that into us. And he used to say to us, gentlemen, this is not about basketball. It's about life. And he used basketball to teach life. I don't know if John Wooden was saved or not, I have no idea. But he was a great communicator. He communicated. We are here to help people and see God work through us to change their lives. We have the greatest book of all, the Bible. We have the truth, and the truth will make you free. Not set you free, make you free. And so we need to communicate and learn to acquire knowledge, and that communication is key to relationships. Mike Krzyzewski, when he retired from Duke, you can tell I'm a basketball fan, okay? I grew up in Indiana, sorry. You can't leave the state without playing basketball. But Mike Krzyzewski has 10 principles that he lives by. Guess what the number one is? Communication. Good communication. Number one, communication. I still contend that if Adam would have said to the snake in the garden, "I'm not going to talk to my wife like that," and cut his tail off right behind his ears, I think it would have been the best thing. Learn to understand. Pray for a knowledgeable spirit. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give all men liberally and upbraideth not. I chuckle because I have a low IQ. I don't have a very high IQ. But I'm going to tell you something. God is able to help anybody. If we just ask Him, if we would just communicate with Him, pray without ceasing. And one of the things that the devil tries to get us to do is, I can't talk to God because, you know, I've got sin in my life or whatever. Can I tell you? Communicate. I have a message I preach about keeping your heart clean. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You know, one of the things we need to do, and this is not part of it's not on the paper, but confession is needed. Can I tell you, there's not a person in this room, including the guy standing up, that's perfect. And we criticize the Catholics for confession, but we don't do it. It needs to be done. It's not on the paper. I just thought I'd throw it in. Pray for a knowledgeable spirit. James 1:5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. Pray for a humble spirit. It's kind of tough to be humble with a last name Bragg, but I try to have a humble spirit. Proverbs 16:19. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than divide the spoil with the proud. You know, sometimes it grates me. Some of the things that are said at work, and I think to myself, I have to stop myself. And God just beats me up sometimes and said, wait a minute. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd probably be worse than that. Yeah. I'm so glad I'm saved. Amen. Pray for a humble spirit. Pray for a sympathetic spirit. Romans 15:1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. One preacher said this, the greatest sin of all, I think, is selfishness. I think that's probably true. Sympathetic spirit. I have to start thinking about, when I talk with people, where they are and where I want to see God take them. There's a lady that I've been witnessing to. Her name's Tabitha. I wish you'd pray for her. I've been witnessing to her for several years now. I'd like to see her saved. Communication. She has a foul mouth, and I have to just let God help me with that. But I talked to her. She's got a 4-year-old boy, and I've given her tracts, and I've given her booklets to read and so forth, and we've talked about the Lord. And I'm not supposed to do that at work, but she's let me, and so I do. And I invited her to church the other day. And we're having a roundup Sunday in October, and her son likes horses, and so I said to her, Tabitha, this flyer tells about what we're doing. I think Liam would really like. By the way, I pray for her and her children every day. Amen. Folks, we have to have a burden. I think we get a burden by listening and understanding what situation. She's been married 3 times. I'm sorry, she's been married twice. She's got 4 children by 3 different men. I mean, she's in her mid-40s, and she says, I'm going to be single all my life and I'm going to be, And I want to say, you're an idiot because you didn't do things right when you were young, but you can't say that. I mean, she had a terrible home life. She ran away when she was 16. It's just a mess. And so I have to listen to her. Sometimes I don't want to. Then I have to speak up. And I did, and I gave her. Here's what she said to me. I said, boy, I'd like to see you and Liam come to church October 4th. And she said, I want to go. She showed the flyer to Liam. Liam said, I'm going to go, Mom. I want to go. And then she said this to me. She said, Liam has been begging me to take him to church. Now, I've been talking to her for a year and a half now. And then she said this. Liam said to me the other day, Mom, what's a Bible? What's a Bible? We have the greatest book. The greatest. I'm telling you, this book is what God communicates to us. His will. We need to know that. That's not on the paper, but pray for a helpful spirit, kind spirit. Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Get your mind off yourself. Number four, and I have about 9 minutes. Number four, duty to learn, all right? Everywhere we go, we ought to be watching and learning. You may have been taught wrong. Like I was. I mean, my mom and dad argued the whole time. It just seemed like the whole time they were married. And they finally divorced it when I was 16. Debbie's parents didn't fight at all, wouldn't let her hear the fights. But neither was right. So when we married, he said, we got to do this the Bible way. We need to learn. And sometimes you have to read. By the way, that's why we're here today, to learn. Yeah. Learn. Most people learn to communicate based on their parents or their childhood. Letter B is practice putting your mind in gear and your mouth in neutral. I'm guilty of sometimes saying too much. Proverbs 17:28, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed man of understanding. Learn to choose the right moments. And letter D, don't say too much. It's best not to give them your whole mind. Most of us don't have that much to give. We have to learn. Learn how to choose the right moments. And these principles apply not only in marriage, but they apply for relationships. And again, I'll go back to John Wooden and Mike Krzyzewski. Who was the last president to be the great communicator? Ronald Reagan. Thank you, Ronald Reagan. My wife and I just went through Dixon, Illinois. She's been asking me to do that for you. Anybody else been through the Reagan House there in Dixon? Fascinating. I wish I'd have gone there first before we went to his library out in California, but. The gentleman that was taking us through, I don't know what they call him, the guide, but there's another name for him. But anyway, he told us about Ronald Reagan's mother. Ronald Reagan's mother taught a college course in her parlor on etiquette and how to speak and how to behave. And Ronald Reagan, at a very young age, was taught proper communication. No wonder he became the great communicator. Can I tell you, this can apply to Sunday school, Christian school. It doesn't matter. Communication, I think, is the key to any relationship that you have. And we need to learn how to communicate. Always be honest, but don't forget, don't say too much. Always speak in love. Love is coding medicine with honey. Always keep trying. Don't stop. Just keep working. You said, man, I blew it. Well, then start all over again. Keep trying to communicate. A duty to learn, a duty to listen, a duty to speak, a duty to understand, and a duty to learn. Let me give you this this last story about communication. Just keep trying. Just keep trying. Is there anyone here from Canton, Illinois? Okay, good. I'll tell the story then. I helped four or five churches get pastors, and some of them are here today, so I want to be careful about the stories that I tell. I went to this church in another town. I won't tell you which one it was. And they said to me, when I got there, "Preacher, we got to put a lady out of our church." I said, what are you talking about? So she goes up to the young converts and she tells them they need to be in church every Sunday. They need to read their Bible. And she's just preaching to them. She's chasing people away. And I said, "Has anyone ever preached on women being silent in the church?" And they all looked at me with fear. Nobody would ever dare preach on that. And I said, "Well, let's do this." I said, "I'll be here for a few Sundays. So would you pray with me? And I want everyone to fast a meal, so one meal this week." And so we started fasting and praying. And God gave me a message about communication. Some of it was from here, some of it from Genesis and the Bible, amen. And God gave me a message. And whenever I have a message that's like that, I write it out word for word. Found out later, Pastor Angel does the exact same thing. And he teaches that in homiletics. That if you're going to have to confront somebody, make sure you know what you're saying so you don't say too much. And so I wrote that whole thing out. And one of the verses I gave was Colossians, where it says, "Let your speech be grace seasoned with salt." And I stayed on that verse for a while, and I said, it does not say your speech should be salt seasoned with grace. And I just gave some illustrations about talking to people and getting in their face, and I was preaching down her row, as you preachers understand. And I thought, well, let's see how this goes. She hit the altar. And she said at the end of the service, "Preacher, that was for me." She said, "I need to speak with grace seasoned with salt." See, don't give up. Amen. Don't give up on that child in your class that you can't communicate with. Ask God to help you. Don't give up. She stayed in the church. She's a great blessing. She's an encouragement. Everybody was grateful. It had split the church, I'm pretty sure. We didn't want to do that. Just take some time. Don't quit. Ask God for wisdom. And remember, don't say too much. Father, we pray that you bless what we said today. Thank you for the good group here. Help us. There's so much more we can learn from communication. Lord, in the book of Proverbs, you use the word talk almost as much as any other word, or speech. Help us to learn, Father, we pray. Thank you, Lord, for communicating to us the great love you have for us. Sometimes love, sometimes communication is not in word, it's just in deed. So help us, Lord, we pray. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.